Where are we on TJ Brody right now? What have we seen so far, and what's our confidence level in the defenseman as it stands right now?
I actually thought he got off to a pretty good start this season, guys, and kind of picked up where he left off with Mark Giordano, who a few seasons ago was his partner. And those two guys were both being considered for Canada's World Cup team. That's how good they were. And then the Flames acquired Dougie Hamilton and put him with Giordano, and that was a terrific pairing for 2 years. But when they moved him, it was, I think, easy for them to slide Brody back into that spot. And they were hoping that he'd be the same player that he was a few seasons ago. And early on this season, I really thought it was heading in that direction. But he has struggled mightily in two or three games now consecutively. And his decisions with the puck haven't been good. He's had a few bad breaks along the way, and I'm not sure that that's helped his confidence any. But, you know, TJ Brody had a really rough first period last night. And as we've learned, Bill Peters is not afraid to make in-game adjustments. So he makes what was must have been a tough one in a sense, moving Brody down to the second pairing to play with Noah Hanifin, and promoting Rasmus Anderson, who wasn't even on the opening night roster, to the first player pairing to play with Giordano. And that paid dividends for the Flames, although they did give up way too many shots and way too many scoring opportunities in their 4-1 victory over the Rangers last night. But for Brody, it's been three games in a row where he's really struggled. The Flames need him to be better because they need to have that top pairing that can go up against the other team's top line and shut them down and even chip in offensively. And based on what he's been giving them lately, he's not the guy. But I still have faith that TJ Brody will figure it out, and the Flames better hope that he does.
Yeah, it's a tough one because the one thing that everyone was talking about all offseason I was confused by, just this assumption that TJ Brody would immediately revert back to his career peak, which was 3 years ago with Giordano when he hadn't been terribly strong the last couple of years. It hasn't been good. I have not liked him a lot. He doesn't look like a top-pairing D-man to me, and I don't know what they're left with for options, Pat, if this is a guy that isn't going to work out. I mean, it's a huge ask of a rookie in Rasmus Anderson. I don't know if it suits Travis Hamonic's skill set perfectly, given that I sort of see him as more of a shutdown second pair type guy. They kind of have banked on him being a top pairing guy, and he hasn't looked like it this year.
If it doesn't end up working out, Derek, and if we're talking about this, you know, being more of a constant thing, because I do, I'm with you. I do think it's been, you know, more recently that we've seen the struggles from Brody. You know, what do they do? I don't know if there is a natural fit, and you know, I think right now Giordano is clearly a top pairing defenseman in this league. Giordano doesn't look like he has missed a beat from what we've seen from him in the last couple of years, but if Brody's not the natural guy to be playing those top pairing minutes with him, I don't know who the natural guy is.
No, I don't either. I don't think the Flames have a guy who you could just slide into that spot, and that's the reason that TJ Brody is playing there. I mean, Mark Giordano, in my opinion, guys, he is playing at as high a level right now as he ever has. He might not be putting up the same sort of numbers that he did under Bob Hartley, but the team's playing a much different style, and they're not relying as heavily on their defensemen to chip in offensively. They're letting their forwards do most of that work, which is probably the way it should be, but they need TJ Brody to be better, because as good as Rasmus Anderson has been in the last three games, and I am seeing some fantastic progression from him, and you can just see him growing game by game by game, and so his confidence is growing. The team's confidence in him is growing. That's a great story, but I still don't think that Anderson's ready to be a regular first-pairing defenseman in the NHL. Is he ready to be a regular in the NHL? Well, starting to look that way, and the Flames are going to have a tough decision to make when Travis Hamonic's ready to come back into the lineup. I actually thought that he was a little bit closer than it sounds like he is because he made the trip and because he wasn't wearing the yellow no-contact jersey today when the team practiced at Bell Center. I thought there was an outside chance that he could play against the Canadiens tomorrow night, but as I'm sure you guys have talked about, he's been ruled out, not officially, but unofficially, until late next week. So that buys the Flames some time to figure out what they're going to do with their defenseman, and hopefully between now and then, Brody figures it out, and then Brad Treloving is going to have a good problem on his hands as far as who the top seven or eight guys are going to be organizationally.
Yeah, that's the best part, is that you get a little bit of time to punt on it, because, yeah, right now, if you were to say Travis Hamonic's coming back tomorrow, which he's not, but if he was, you're like, geez, I don't know what you'd do and how you go about managing that. So a little bit of extra time, certainly not a bad thing when it comes to that. Okay, so that's the question on the blue line. Let's move up front, because we haven't talked a ton about this today, Derek. I know you're in Montreal, so you haven't been able to listen, but we haven't talked a whole lot. We played the Red Hot Replay, But Johnny Gaudreau is up to 300 points. He hits the milestone last night as part of the 4-1 win in New York. 300 points in 320 career games. Here he is. He's 25 years old. He's coming off a career year last year. Has Johnny Gaudreau hit his ceiling in terms of what we see from him offensively, or is there still more room to grow from Calgary's leading scorer?
I still think there's more room to grow, guys. I really do. And it's probably less because of what he does with the puck and more of what he could do without the puck. And we saw it at times last night. He would really bust his butt to come back and, you know, get involved in the defensive zone. He was moving his feet, and I think he's one of the best pickpockets in the NHL. And when he's coming back hard on the back check and he steals the puck, he can turn on a dime and then head right back up the ice. And I think his skating is better now than it's ever been. He's got a bit more burst in his stride right now. So I think that for that whole first line, aside from Elias Lindholm, who has shown me so much this season, I think he's a fantastic two-way player. I think he's an underrated two-way player in the NHL. He's hit right in on that line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. But I think when it comes to Monahan and Gaudreau, they could be better without the puck, guys. And if they're better without the puck, because we've seen it at times, then they're going to have the puck more, and you want those two guys to have the puck as much as possible.
I think we see more. I think, as Derek alluded to, the fit with Lindholm has been better than what we've probably seen with anyone. Hudler had a decent run there. Joe Colburn got hot there. We saw Michael Ferland score 20 there, but it wouldn't be an outlandish statement to suggest that's the most talented right winger they've got, or at least the best fit with those two guys. So if that's the case, why not set new career highs with assist points for Gaudreau? I think a point per game player moving forward isn't a crazy assumption as he's in his prime now.
84 points in 80 games last year. Here comes on pace guy, but as it stands right now,
on pace guy last year had him at 120, I think, around like November, December.
Well, right now he's on pace for 123. If you were to do it right now, but you know what, I don't think that all I've ever heard is, well, at some point this is going to happen, or at some point, well, he can't get there. All Johnny Gaudreau has ever done is smash through these glass ceilings that have been placed on him. So I don't really want to put ceilings on him anymore. Like, he was prior to the injury and prior to some of the things that happened last year, he was easily probably going to be in that 90-point range. For him to be a 90-point guy perennially for the next 3, 4, 5 years, I don't think that's out of the question whatsoever.
I think you can get to 100, guys. I really do. Might not be this season. Might be this season. I mean, if he's on pace for, 123, then he might slow down at some point, and he's probably going to have a stretch of games where, you know, he struggles to produce points, but he's just so good. I mean, having a chance to call all but one of his NHL games and all but one of his NHL goals and points, and watching him practice every day, I just see Johnny Gaudreau maturing as a player. And so are the guys he's playing with. I mean, that's the exciting thing for the Flames. When you look at that first line, you've got Sean Monahan and Elias Lindholm. Lindholm, the fifth overall pick in 2013. Monahan taking one spot behind him. And then you've got Gaudreau, who was 104th overall pick. But all three of these guys are under 25 years old. So I know that primes in the NHL are a little bit younger now than they used to be. I think guys are reaching their primes in their early to mid-20s, where I think before it was kind of in their mid to late 20s. But I still think that there's room to grow for all three of these guys. And if one guy grows, he's going to make the other two better. And if all three get better, that could become one of the best lines in the NHL, especially if the left winger and the centerman improve their game away from the puck.
The other thing I'll add, just real quick, power play was dreadful last year, and he was missing Monahan for how long? And Ferland disappeared for the last month of the year. Like, just marginal gains all those places. I think he gets past 84 this year.
Yeah.
That's just to put a bow on that one.
On pace for 123.
Okay, settle down.
As it stands right now, I will be on pace guy today.
Yeah, Morgan Riley's going to get 200.
It's true, he is. He's better than Bobby Orr. You hear that? He's Derek Wills. He is the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Okay, so a question on D, a question on forward. Now, in between the pipes, maybe off the wall, maybe not off the wall. David Rittich has a 962 save percentage in seven periods. He has stopped 76 of 79 shots. He was incredible last night, and the biggest reason why the Flames came away with a big victory over the Rangers. Derek, if it were you, do you go back to Rittich tomorrow in Montreal, or do you go with Mike Smith?
Interesting question. It's actually one that Peter Labardius and I mulled over on the flight from New York to Montreal last night. I would go to Mike Smith. He is your guy, and this team is going to go no further than Mike Smith takes them, in my opinion. Now, you've got a guy in David Riddick who is playing at as high a level as he ever has. As a matter of fact, talking to Jordan Siegel, that's the Flames goaltending coach, and a bunch of other people who were at that game last night, they said that was not only David Riddick's best game as an NHLer, that's one of the best games from they've seen from a goaltender in the NHL. That's how darn good David Riddick was against the Rangers last night. Third in the NHL in both goals against average and save percentage so far this season. Now, I know it's early, but you've got to start somewhere. And, well, I think it's funny because what was it, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, we were, or at least some people were wondering if the Flames should pick up Curtis McElhinney or someone on waivers to give themselves a more experienced backup goaltender so Mike Smith didn't get run into the ground. And now all of a sudden, you know, 2-3 weeks later, we're talking about David Riddick and whether he should start to almost split starts with Mike Smith. But, you know, Mike Smith is the guy. He needs to get his game to a higher level. I think he'd be the first guy to tell you that. So I'd go to Mike Smith against the Canadiens. And depending on what happens, fellas, I thought the next start David Riddick would get would be either against the Maple Leafs or the Sabres, probably against the Sabres, and you'd go with your number one guy, Smith, against the Maple Leafs, who are a terrifying team offensively. But depending on who gets the start and on what happens against the Canadiens tomorrow night, you might think about splitting those two starts at home against the two teams who have won the last three Stanley Cups, and the Penguins and the Capitals.
That's the interesting thing, is that maybe they do go to him a little earlier than perhaps that you might say on the schedule, and wouldn't be a surprise at this point.
At this point, I think he's earned it. And if Mike Smith had, you know, more than two really strong starts this year, I would yield to the veteran. But we also have to remember that Mike Smith doesn't have a deal next year. Like, you're absolutely, it's in your best interest to know exactly what David Riddick is. And if he's playing well in the short term, give him another look. And I really don't have a preference whether it's in Montreal on the road or at home later this week. But I think he will get one more start in before that back-to-back at the end of the month.
Well, and Derek, if they were to go to him, like you're talking about, say they go to Smith tomorrow in Montreal and Smith against Pittsburgh, then go Riddick against Washington, Smith against Toronto, Riddick against Buffalo, and that's how they end the month in terms of their goaltending splits. That would have Mike Smith on pace for 57 starts and Riddick on for about 27, which is kind of where you want to be. Sorry, on pace for 25, which is kind of where you want to be when you're at the end of the year. That's kind of one of the target numbers we've thrown out, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're around that range, it means two things. It means Mike Smith has stayed relatively healthy, that David Riddick has been good as your backup, and that you're probably in a playoff spot. Because if you're not, you're likely going to lean on your number one guy really heavily down the stretch to try to get into one. So I think that'd be a great scenario for the Flames. I'll throw this out there, guys. I think there's a chance David Riddick starts against the Canadiens tomorrow. Actually, Bill Peters had a great line when he was talking to us today and asked about who his starting goaltender is going to be against the Habs here at Bell Center tomorrow night, and said something along the lines of they were going to make the decision on the plane, but then he had to look through all the scoring chances and couldn't get through them all before the plane landed in Montreal because there were too damn many of them in New York last night. So basically that was a nice way of him saying, I'm not going to tell you who my starting goaltender is against the Canadiens tomorrow night, so we're going to have to wait for the morning skate. I will say this, for what it's worth, and usually it does mean something, Mike Smith was in the starter's net at today's practice at Bell Center. David Riddick didn't get as much work as he did. So leads me to believe they go with Smith tomorrow. But the other factor could be, and trust me, guys, coaches look at all this stuff. Riddick's been way better on the road than he has been at home so far in his NHL career. Not to say that can't change, but if you're looking at things from a historical perspective, that could be something that factors into the coach's decision.